hello once again, and welcome to the Mike Wilson Show on WWGH. Sitting in front of me right now is a father and son, two generations of talent that I've been wanting to have on the air for a while, and things have finally worked out. We have Richard Obenauer and his son, Will, and you've seen some of Will's handiwork around town. We're going to, well, first of all, hello. Good to see you here.
Hello, Mike.
Hi there. And we're going to, Will's having trouble with the headphones thing. We're going to start off by talking to Will about some of his work around Marion, his murals. Let's start with the one you're working on right now.
I'm really honored to be able to be doing the Korean War mural in the downtown Marion County building at 222 West Center Street in the area near the Treasurer, Auditor, Engineering, and Voters area, in that hallway going down the ramp.
Right.
So almost like a 30-foot-long wall space inside that location. Small brushes, big wall, lots of detail.
So, and this is to honor war vets of the Korean War, I believe.
Yes, yes.
And you're the, go ahead.
Something along the lines of, for those that, you know, were forgotten, the Forgotten War.
Mm-hmm.
And along with name plaques and banners and things that'll be applied at, you know, after the mural is finished, and then we'll have some sort of a ceremony of some sort.
Okay. And you've had a lot of help from the public, from veterans and folks with pictures
primarily
and so on,
just
to help you with that?
Just more the local veterans group from the veterans post off of Olney Avenue, downtown Marion there, that the Korean War veterans that have brought me photos of themselves that are going to be in the mural, so I want to make sure that they're, you know, seen.
And this mural is big.
Yes.
What is about, did you say about 30 foot long?
30 foot long wall space.
And how tall,
well,
is that thing?
9 foot at one end, and then there's a banner that runs along it, but then there's like 13 foot at the other end.
Yes. And folks, if you haven't seen it, stop in the Marion County building.
Yeah. Enter through the back side, because you, yes, can't get in through the front right now while they've reconfigured the whole scenario.
Because of COVID. Yes.
Due to COVID.
Yes.
And you come in, you know, just leave everything in your car if you can, and just come in, get your temperature checked, run through,
right,
the run through the scanner, and or just let them know that you want to come in and see the mural.
And when you come in that back door, just a little ways and to your right, there's a ramp.
Exactly.
It's on the wall to your right.
Exactly.
Right along that ramp.
Yeah, it's really exciting. I'm just motivated every day to come in and, well, Monday through Friday to come in and work on this for them. You know, it's started mid-September, but, you know, it'll be done when it's done. It's just a dedication of love for these guys that, again, it's an honor to be able to do this for them that many have paid with their lives.
Yeah, that's it is an honor to get to do that, I'm sure. So, you know, you really can't give an ending date on this because
it's unknown.
Right, exactly.
I'm working as fast as I can with little brushes and the big wall. But I think the longest part of it so far was trying to get the sky, you know, from a brightly lit sunrise, sunset down to a almost pastel, non-existent at the other end, and then placing those aircraft into the sky and doing the Boyd's Funeral Home procession ambulance, which is a Korean ambulance from back in the day,
mm-hmm,
that they've converted to a funeral procession vehicle for local veterans.
Oh, okay. That's
and,
cool.
So that's one of the pieces that's trying to pick out pieces that would make everything as special as I can for these guys.
Yeah, and that's, again, folks, if you get a chance to see stop in there during the day and talk to Will, and you know, whether you stop in while it's being painted or after it's done, it's quite a treat.
Well, my plan is for it to be a destination location for Marion for people to come and see this. And I know that they've already put a couple of photographs in one of the Korean veterans magazines, like to the national magazine. So I'm really excited about, you know, that when it's finished, that it'll be in that as well.
And weren't you on the front page of the Marion Star here recently as well?
A couple times back in...
yes, you were.
Can't remember, like November-ish or... Yeah, actually, I think maybe... I can't remember.
Yeah, I can remember that picture.
I think maybe September and then November or something like that.
And I think you've been on the air here with Linda Sims and maybe that Adam Lepp show as well.
Exactly.
So,
it's being
talked
Adam.
About a lot. Okay. That's only because he's sitting here in the studio with us. He's just observing today. Maybe you'll learn something, Adam. So, you've done some other murals throughout Marion as well. I can think of two right offhand. Would you like to talk about some of those?
Well, just it was a real thrill to do the mural back in during the Popcorn Festival of 2019 for Jenny Collins for the Paisley Peacock, who we call it Jewel. So it's a colorfully created peacock out front of her shop. Then that led to, again, Marcella's Berry's redo. Did the chair railing, which I utilized some of my dad's photography to do the city scene sort of chair railing that she wanted around her restaurant. So that was a lot of fun to utilize some of my dad's photography from downtown, old downtown Marion, to make that happen in there. And then did some other scripting of Welcome to Berry's Buenos Aires for Marcella there as well. And that was a hand lettering things is time consuming as well. The accuracy of just those little brushes and a steady hand. Mm-hmm. So.
And there's another one that you did recently, just before you started on the Korean War one.
Yes, the one that is a under the sea depiction of sunrise or sunlight coming down through the waves and dolphins, assorted fish, coral, sort of a little. Tribute to for the kids, Dory and Nemo, and all just realistic sea creatures.
And that's
put into the mural, and that's in the Harding Hotel,
right?
Harding Harbor Seafood. So you can actually see me there usually on Fridays and Saturday nights at the Harding Harbor Seafood as well.
Okay,
their evening maitre d' now.
So you can find Nemo in Marion, Ohio.
Yes,
that's good. Any other work like that you've done downtown? Mm-hmm. Any other murals?
Well, I do. We created Erica Drury's logo inside her entranceway to Brave Woman. That was a lot of fun as well.
Yeah, and that's right across the, right here in
down East Center Street near the Beauty Academy.
Oh, okay. That's not where I thought that. Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
But I have some exterior murals that I'm looking at come summertime, but, you know, right now, it's just me, myself, and I to, do what I do. So, one by one, I'll get them done.
Okay. And I've seen a lot of your artwork. You're really good with portraits.
Yeah, I enjoy doing photorealistic portraits. I'm working on one right now of a friend of mine and his Chihuahua. That's a little bit of a fun, challenging one. But it's coming along fairly quickly. But again, I don't like to rush through such things because if you rush it, you make mistakes, and then you have to go back and correct those mistakes. So if you take your time and plug at it, even if you walk away for a few minutes to come back with fresh eyes, you know, that's the best way to do it. If you rush it, you know, sit there and just constantly work on it, mm-hmm. you make mistakes. Or can.
You've done a lot of other subjects as well. One of your favorites and one of mine that I like are the ones you've done with rocks, with water running over the rocks. I love those pictures.
That was my Leaves and Water series.
Yes. Now, is there a place where people can view some of your artwork and possibly buy some of your artwork as well?
Right now, primarily, just contact me on Facebook or befriend me on Facebook, and William Obinar that way. Right now, the guild is closed. We're working on being open by appointment only, and that's primarily the only place that I have a few things right now. Most of my pieces are at home still from a gallery art show, although looking at an installment at a local, the new edition of the airport here in Marion, that'll be coming up here this spring.
And you were talking before we went on the air about a an event that's coming up for...
Yes, the...
I think it's in the school.
Yeah, well, we have every year, we have the countywide high school art show out at Tri Rivers during the pancake breakfast.
Okay.
But due to, again, COVID, we've had to reconfigure and relocate that. And since we're chamber members, we decided that we would have it at the Chamber Garden Room. Time frames available will be from the 12th of March through the 17th of March, and we'll announce those time frames at a later time, and have posters up as well with the time frames on those around.
And the room you're speaking of, I believe, is in the Harding Center.
Yes, the Harding Hotel.
And that's beautiful. If you haven't been in there lately, folks, they've kept it pretty much like it originally looked.
Exactly.
And it's beautiful in there. So
it is a place and destination to come see.
It's a perfect venue to show off the art of these young folks.
Yeah. Well, it'll be the prize winners or the award-winning pieces. It'll be roughly about 30 to 36 pieces altogether, I think, of local high school art. You know, it's just... We really wanted to have something for the kids because the kids really don't have much to look forward to these days, and getting their art out there to be seen by people here in Marion or by anyone, you know, is a, you know, awarding for a young artist to get to show off their talent.
Now, did you have any encouragement as you started developing your artistic abilities?
Well, my mom and dad, and then my grandmother, you know, mm-hmm. and her sister, my aunt Frida Thorpe, you know, again, that they all were very encouraging. Everyone really was, you mm-hmm. know. It's just more of, then I remember Sally George was probably my biggest, you know, influence to, you know, sort of guide and get me into CCAD for my first year. So.
Okay. So you have had a viewing of your work someplace in Columbus?
No,
this past
that was
year?
Actually last or this past March, well, March, April, May, and June actually, as it was extended due to COVID. So that was at Gallery 22 in Delaware.
Oh, that was in Delaware. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of 2020.
So were there a lot of folks that showed up?
It was a nice showing. It was a nice experience to get my artwork out there, to get it seen outside of the outskirts of Marion.
Yes.
Although, you know.
Well, I've seen a lot of your artwork, and you are extremely talented. And Marion's very fortunate to have you.
I enjoy doing, again, the combination of photorealism and abstraction. That's my sort of the niche where I'm working on creating for most of my paintings, is enjoying doing pockets of photorealistic pieces or parts to, and then abstracting the background or just quickly doing something to it, you know, to make it a little bit more unique.
Mm-hmm. So do you have any upcoming projects in the works or in the near future?
Well, I have a list.
Okay.
A scroll down list of projects that I want to do, but you know, right now the Korean War mural is really taking a lot of my time.
Okay.
Monday through Friday. So
so if somebody has an idea for a mural, which would be in the future because you have things going on right now.
Yeah.
Can they, the best way to contact you is on Facebook, I presume.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And say, hey, Will, or, we've got this idea.
Exactly. Or stop by the county building, stop in and talk to me there.
Sure.
You know, because it's hard to, I usually don't take a lunch break. On occasion, I'll take a lunch break, but usually once I get there, I work and as much as I can to get it done.
Well, that's really, it's really something. We have somebody with talent like yours right here in Marion, Ohio. And we sure appreciate it. And that veterans mural will be around for many, many years, I'm sure, and remind us of those that gave their lives and gave their time for our country in Korea. So thank you. From all of Marion, thank you.
Well, one day at a time.
That's true. Now, your dad is a very talented man, too.
Yeah.
Not in sketching and painting so much, but in photography. And Richard has quite a story to tell.
He's been very helpful for me to, you know, print off photographs that I would receive from local veterans and from some of my internet searches to create photos. And so those have been very...
You can also see some of his photos at the corner barbershop, I believe.
That and Barry's restaurant. Yes. You can go inside Barry's and...
Now, Richard, you are the son of the last sheriff to be in the old sheriff's office and jail that was downtown on Center Street. And he was the first one to be in the one that's out on Marion Williamsport Road.
Yes, that was actually it was on 130 North State Street, which was the overpass came in front of the building there, and then it was continued to deteriorate to the point every time the commissioners or people would come over and condemned it there for numerous years, and they finally shut it down and built a new jail and which is kind of the old jail already because something
true.
I didn't think I'd ever see myself, but this short of, well, I guess it's not been that short amount of time, but a lot less time than the old jail was over 100 years old before they tore it down. And so it's interesting place to live. Lived in there for about 9 years. From the time my dad was elected sheriff until we got married in 62 and moved out in 62 myself. And, but
now, what was your dad's first name?
Glenn.
Glenn.
Yeah, Glenn Obenauer.
Glenn Obenauer.
He was sheriff for 16 years.
Okay.
We started there, and I remember we moved in 1953. I'm assuming it was probably 54 because I think the presidential elections and the sheriff and so forth usually come up at the same time of the year there. So, but it was a interesting place to live and got to see a lot of things that went on behind the scenes that you don't normally see every day.
So the sheriff lived there, but it was also the jail, correct?
Right. Yeah, we lived in the front part of the house building, and the jail was in the back part of the building. And when I tell people I lived at the jail, they kind of take it as in behind the bars, but I'm on the other side.
But that was pretty common back then.
Yeah,
and then
right.
Quite often the sheriff's wife would fix right. the meals for the
yeah,
prisoners.
My mother, I ran across a newspaper article here recently that my mother had the first year that she did the cooking there, the Cleveland Plain Dealer had somebody come down and did an interview with her, and that first year she'd already cooked 20,000 meals.
Oh my.
And that was a 7-day-a-week, 24-hour-day job. It wasn't, you know, they had breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and the kitchen was our kitchen. In the jail kitchen, that was we ate our meals in the kitchen, and that's where all of the the food was processed or, you know, cooked. We had two 40-cup coffee makers and two cook stoves and mm-hmm. two ovens, no dishwashers or any of the modern conveniences like they have nowadays. Mm-hmm. And I used to, when we first moved in there, I started into junior high school, and I told Mom, I said, you know, I'm the only boy in junior high school that's got dishpan hands for washing the dishes up here.
What kind of food did she prepare for them? Do you remember?
Basically, we ate the same thing that the prisoners ate, and she had a really limited budget for 70. I think when she first started out, I think she got 75 cents a day for each prisoner for three meals.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, it wasn't like T-bone steaks and right. and that kind of stuff. But we ate, Mom said, you know, if it's, you know, good enough for them, we ate the same thing. And it was hard to, you know, once she got doing all of those meals in a day's time, she didn't feel like making something else. She did. Well, she also fixed Thanksgiving and Christmas meals. The prisoners got the same thing, you know, turkey and dressing and all the goods. We had what we called the regulars that came in, and they all made sure that they was going to be there to get the meals at Thanksgiving and Christmas time on the bar side of the kitchen inside. And but they were, we called them the regular guys that came back each time whenever these occasions came around. But it was an interesting, you know, way to, that we had a fellow that came in, was was taken care of by the county, but was assigned to the sheriff's office. Apparently, I don't know the history of it. I just recently put some photographs of Emory Hurley. He was a downtown fellow that a lot of people got acquainted with, and I just put a photo on Facebook, Growing Up in Marion Facebook page recently of him, and found out a few things about him that I didn't know. I knew that we ate breakfast together for all the time that I was there. Each morning before school, I'd go in and eat my breakfast in the kitchen, and Emory came in, and he would get breakfast, and and I sat at the same table there. We only had the one table, I think we could sit maybe five or six people at the table there in the kitchen, and mm-hmm. besides, the rest of it was taken up with all the accessories that made for the meals for the prisoner people, and also the ladies' quarters were on the second floor.
Oh, okay.
Only about 25-30 feet from my bedroom, and there was a T-shaped hallway on the second floor, and the ladies' part of it was on one end of the T, and I was on the other end with my bedroom, and got to hear a lot of comments that as the ladies would get there to spend their time. Most of them had, I wouldn't say all of them, but a lot of them had been drinking too much.
Oh, okay.
And back in those days, the city didn't have any quarters for them to stay at, so they all got to come to the county jail, and like I say, up on the second floor, just down the hall from my bedroom. And it was a interesting night sometimes, that a lot of noise and pounding and hollering and things went on at the other end of the hallway, and sometimes it irritated me quite a bit. I had a notion to go down and quiet them down, but never did. But that was then. My mother also, being cooking for the prisoners, they had a pass through there in the kitchen into the main jail, but the women's quarters, she had to go out and go up the stair steps close to where the main entrance was to the main part of the jail, go up and deliver the food in to the ladies, and then after they got done, she'd have to go back up and get their utensils, the things that they ate, and bring them back down and run them through cleaning process there in the kitchen for the next time.
Mm-hmm.
And three meals a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That was a challenging time. And then also, my sister was only 3 years old when we moved into the jail. So my mother had my three-year-old sister to help take care of, along with the cooking and the things that went on in the process in the jail. So it was an interesting life back in those days.
Oh, I'm sure it was. Anything about the building? Now, you told us the women had their quarters on the second floor. The men were on the first floor.
Yeah.
Anything else about that building you'd like to describe or tell us about?
It was quite a place. I wish I'd have gotten more photos. I don't have hardly any photos of the interior of the house part. 12-foot ceilings and all downstairs and upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a large stairway that came up from our living part of the place, and also had a front door where very seldom had people that come to visit us, friends or family. They always came in through the jail entrance on the street side of the jail, but we had an entrance there, and the main stairway came down into that. It was a big hallway. It went two floors up from down there, you know, like 20-some feet to the ceiling of the second floor. And we had three bedrooms upstairs. My bedroom was right at the top of the stairs to the right, and we had a bathroom there. And then to the left, it was a T-shaped hallway that went towards the west side of the jail building. And my dad and mom's bedroom was butted up against my bedroom. The walls did, but theirs was off on the left-hand side of the hallway. Then my sister's bedroom was on the right-hand side. If you ever see a picture of the old jail, it was a circular extension the way the building was built. Down on that side, my sister's room was in that circular part of the place, and then there was another stairway that went all the way up into the cupola, and another room that was never used as a bedroom, but that would have been available, I guess, there next to that stairway that went all up into the highest part of the jail building, where the pigeons and the birds roosted and made messes, and it was an interesting area that was, it was full of old 33 RPM records up there.
Really?
And stacks of them, and uh-huh. I always wonder whatever happened to them all. I'm assuming when they tore the jail down or before then, I guess Dad was in there all that time, but I don't know whatever happened to them, but it would have been an interesting collection.
Uh-huh.
It was large.
Now, you mentioned the cupola. There was a feature on top of the cupola that was unique.
Yeah, the key mm-hmm. up there on the top of the
Which
building.
I think the Historical Society has.
Yeah, it came up missing, I think, at one time. I don't know. Well, I might be getting it confused with the
Lady Liberty
arrangement
yes.
there. But,
that was a Charlie deal,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, right. But that was a... interesting area of the jail to go up in that part of the building, and then we also had a full basement under the living quarters part of the jail, and then what we called a dungeon underneath the jail part of the jail, and that was in the basement. My mother used the biggest majority of the basement downstairs at that time for storage for the food for the prisoners, and mm-hmm. She bought in large quantities when you had in the early days 20,000 meals, but she got up into 40,000-50,000 as time went along with the more people coming in there. Uh-huh. So it was almost like a grocery store in the basement. We had a freezer down there, and mm-hmm. we had shelving and things like that. Number 10 cans, the large cans,
yes.
that she used
mm-hmm.
stuff with, and so it was a interesting operation, not like a restaurant, but sort of like a restaurant, sure, because of the service and the customers weren't, you know, coming in bringing their money, and they were getting their food passed through a hole in the wall.
Yeah. Well, what you've just told from the inside of the old jail and sheriff's quarters, those are stories people probably haven't heard in the past.
Right,
so.
Yeah. Well, that was another interesting thing with our stairway that went upstairs. There, underneath the stairway, there was a bathroom in there, and a very small bathroom, mm-hmm, a stool, and a place to wash your hands. And it had a door on our side of the house, and then also had a door on the office side, so somebody from the office could use it. Or
okay.
We never very often used it, but it was possible that you could open the door on one side and somebody might be in there.
Right.
And so, and then it was an area that was pretty cramped. It wasn't, you know, like the huge bathrooms that they have nowadays. Like I say, it was pretty tight to, mm-hmm, place to go into.
Now, do you remember approximately how many cells were in the men's and how many cells were in the women's parts?
Yeah, there was two cells for the women. It was kind of a T-shaped room. If you come in, you come in for kind of from the side, and there was a bathtub on the right-hand side, and then there was an open area. And then on the left, on the left-hand side was a bathtub. On the right-hand side, there was two cells, and they had doors on each one of the cells, and they had a stool in each cell, and could close the doors. But most every time I ever seen it, the doors were always open, mm-hmm, in the cell part of it and so forth. But it was right above our kitchen. And we had numerous people, you know, stay in there, and it was an interesting time once that we had apparently an elderly lady that had dentures that was in there, and we happened to be eating supper one day down in the kitchen after Mom had served the prisoners, and we heard this rattly sound going down through the pipe, the next day, they found out that the lady that was up there somehow had lost her dentures and one of the stools.
Oh, my.
I think it come down through our kitchen area. We could hear it going through.
Now, that's a good story.
Yeah.
Well, we've talked a lot about your time living at the jail with your parents and your sister. You've started very early taking pictures of downtown Marion, and you'd like to share those pictures. About when did you start taking these photographs?
Well, I can't remember the exact date, but I decided, got interested in photography, and I decided we had an area in the basement that wasn't used by my mother that had a sink in it. So I kind of took over that area and made it into a dark room. That's where I kind of started out processing my film and taking pictures, which I wish I'd have got a lot more of downtown back in those days, which, mm-hmm, would have been from 53 on up to 62 when I was living there. And it would have been, I did get pictures back in those days some, but not nearly what I wish I would have gotten, because, mm-hmm, so many changes have happened over the years that places have disappeared, torn down, and so on and so forth. But it's been a kind of a start area, and then it was black and white days, and, mm-hmm, everything was total darkness, and it was a kind of a thing that I worked on up into the, from there later on, and had my own photography studio. Actually, my first photographic job was working for the Marion Power Shovel Company.
Oh.
Worked in the photographic department down there until they closed the photographic department down, and that was before that was actually right after I got out of high school, and so it was an interesting operation. The shovel was there when they were building a crawler transporter and, mm-hmm, a lot of the big drag lines, and also went out and photographed not the Crawler Transporter, never went down to Florida, but photographed testing and things like that for NASA when they came up and ran tests on them. And then some of the big drag lines and shovels I did go out and photograph for the... We had five people at the time when we first started there in the photographic department, our boss and myself, and then there was three other girls that worked there, and two of them I'd gone to school with, and they ended up getting married and left. It was an interesting operation there, but it was back in the days where we did what we called photo books. Those shovels were one of a kind, and they needed to have a parts operation where if they needed parts, and so that was part of our job. We'd photograph the parts for the and have numbers and stuff on them, so it made up we called them photo packs with photographic prints. And then we also had smaller machines back in those days, 93 and 35 M's and so on and so forth, that were more of a, quantitative, where they made numerous machines like that instead of one of a kind type of thing. So it kept us busy. We run through thousands of prints a month down there back in the days when we were all five of us was working in there, and then that was before they came up with the printing processes like they got nowadays. We used photographs, and we called them photo packs. It was actually photos that went into albums that went to the customers that would give them the point or the what they needed to know of when it come to getting parts and so forth.
Now, those photographs were probably property of Marion Power Shovel, so you probably don't have any copies of those.
Well, I've got some things that I did on my own that most of, in fact, I wouldn't swear to it, but I think the big majority of those pictures that was down there, and our photo lab was on the north side of the street on West Center Street.
Okay.
The photographic department was on the second floor, and advertising was downstairs. And then we had a third floor, and the third floor was loaded with tons of glass negatives up there, knee high or higher. And I always wondered whatever happened to all those.
Wow.
There had to have been hundreds and hundreds of them up there.
Yeah.
And for all I know, that building was torn down. I think probably, I don't remember, I wasn't working there because we got laid off, shut down the photographic department, and apparently maybe went the same way with advertising. I was gone when they ran up, closed the place down, and I went over to Lima in the photographic department for Superior Coach over their funeral cars, ambulances, school buses, things like that, drove back and forth. And then along that same time, I started my own studio, and they wanted me to move to Lima, and I said, no, I don't think so. I think I'm going to stay here and Marion, and that's what I did for 20 years, had my own studio.
Now, a lot of those photos you took of downtown Marion can be seen on Growing Up in Marion, Ohio,
yes.
I believe, is
yeah, that's,
on Facebook.
Yeah, I do a lot of the things that I've put on there, and a lot of things that come from the Mike Perry had a large collection of negatives that I processed and went through thousands and thousands of them and found over 3,000 what I felt were historic things of Marion and out of all of those. So it's one of those things that I also put those on the Facebook page, Growing Up in Marion, along with some of the things that I've done.
Okay. So you have, are you still doing a lot? You are still doing a lot of photography,
yeah,
aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I still, I've been trying to keep up with what's been going on downtown and the progress with the Center Street Market was one of them. Trying to keep things the Growing Up in Marion, when we first started on Stuart Haley, that started that program, and he come out and found out, he heard that I had a studio and wondered what I had, and he came out and visited. He had just recently started that Growing Up in Marion website, and I think there's about 1,500 people on there at that time, and I figured, well, everybody's from Marion, but
not all of us. I'm with you.
That was the big surprise, that how many people weren't. Actually, it's made for growing up in Marion. It's for anybody that came from Marion, lived in Marion, went to school mm-hmm. here, and so forth. So it's kind of a broad arrangement. And I had people from all over mm-hmm. contact me. People from out, and a lady sent me a message one day from Washington State, and she says, you know, I enjoy these old pictures, but it'd be nice to see what's happening in Marion nowadays. So I thought, well, okay, I'll start putting some, you know, newer things on there, and it's kind of a mixture of old and new, and so it's worked out we're up to over 15,000, I think, on there. I don't know the exact count anymore, but they used to have it on the Facebook page. I think it's got 14,000 something or other, 7.7 or something like that on there, but it's been that way for quite a while, and we've gained considerable amount of people of interest, and we have. I think it's a good thing for between the old pictures and the new pictures that kind of shows what's happened in DeMarion and mm-hmm. what it used to be like, and it's been a fun thing to work with.
And I know that when the Popcorn Festival is going on, I know we didn't have this past year, but. You usually have some of your photographs at the City Hall mm-hmm. on display, as well as Will has some of his
right.
artwork down
yeah,
there,
well, that's
too.
Part of the Mid-Ohio Fine Arts Society that we belong to,
right.
Sponsors that show, and that's available to public people to come in. And Will and I have done judging for the county schools, a high school judging for the last several years, and then we bring in the people from not only schools, but local artists and things have a chance to, but now with this problem with the corona things, it's kind of put a kink in our program along that
as
line.
As with everything, yes. That's true. Will, anything else you want to add about your experiences with art the organization you just mentioned.
Of Fine Arts.
You want to mention them a little bit?
Sure.
We have about 2 minutes.
We have a program coming up this Thursday at the Harding Hotel in the Garden Room. The Mid-Ohio Fine Arts Society, first meeting that we've had since for a while. And excited about the mat cutter certification that we're going to do with our members. And there's a lot of good perks to being a member of the Mid-Ohio Fine Arts Society. Even if you want to be inspired and network and, you know, talk about what you might like to learn as well. You know.
If somebody wants to find out more, where's a good place?
You can look up the Mid-Ohio Fine Arts Society page on Facebook as well. We have a lot of posts that you can find out more information there.
Okay. And Will and Richard Obenauer, thank you for being here on The Mike Wilson Show. And you've been listening to The Mike Wilson Show on WWGH. Tune in again next Monday afternoon at 5:15 to The Mike Wilson Show.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place. The legendary star of The Facts of Life, Charlotte Ray, Mrs. Garrett.
Yeah. Is it how much of Mrs. Garrett is in Charlotte Ray?
I'm not, you know, they made Mrs. Garrett perfect, which was ridiculous, as I wrote in the book. I mean, they never let me yell at the kids or anything, which most parents, you know, all the kids wanted a mother like Mrs. Garrett. Well, she wasn't real, because most mothers lose their temper sometime and they get mad, and so on and so forth. Anyway.
To the voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid, legendary actress Pat Carroll.
And I think villains are the most fascinating people as an actress to play. They have more edges to them. They have more color to them. Isn't that a shame that goodness isn't more fascinating, or our world would be better?
I guess.
But there is something fascinated about tacky people, mean people. They're colorful. Good people always seem to be a little bit, ugh, yucky. But bad people always have edges to them. That's why they're so wonderful to play for actors.
That?
Because you can pick all the things in life as a human being that annoy you or that you would like to do to be really rotten mean. Most people are too afraid to be rotten mean because we want people's approval so badly.